Please open your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 25. We'll begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1, and we'll read the chapter through verse 44. At the beginning, our reading in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 1, hear now the word of God. Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, 'Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have.' Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give us whatever comes to your hand, to your servants, and to your son David." So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away, each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and went back. And they came and told all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me, see, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. So it was, as she rode on the donkey, that she went down under the cover of the hill. And there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so he is Nabal. Is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm for my lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal." So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it happened, after about 10 days, that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David has sent us to you to ask you to become his wife." And then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by 5 of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The title of this sermon is Intervention on the Road to Folly. And when you hear the word intervention, what comes to mind? You know, maybe for me, I hear intervention and I think of someone that you have to stage an intervention for. Maybe somebody who is acting in a way that is harmful to themselves or to others. And you care about them, and so you have to step in. You have to stop them from doing that. Now here we have David, who the Bible tells us is a man after God's own heart. And even this man after God's own heart is starting to walk down the road of folly. And it's so interesting, isn't it? This is happening right after chapter 24. Now in chapter 24, David had the opportunity to go right down the road of folly, didn't he? He had Saul right where he wanted him, in the cave. And yet, what did David do? He said, "Far be it from me to do this, to lift my hand against Saul." But here we have David who goes from the David of chapter 24, who spoke these words in verse 6, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord," to the David that we see in chapter 25, who in verse 13, after receiving this insult from Nabal, tells his men, "Every man gird on his sword, and I'm going to gird on my sword. I'm coming for blood. I'm coming after Nabal." What a change. And God has to intervene. And God does so by sending Abigail to stop David, to say, David, you do not want to do this. And not only is David going to listen and David going to be stopped from entering into the sin, but at the end of it, David's going to end up not only with a meal from Nabal, but with Nabal's property and his wife. But it's because God worked against David to keep him from sin. Now, how often are you and I just like David here? How often do we do what is right? We even maybe instruct others, and then we turn around and so quickly do the opposite. I call this wisdom amnesia. We forget. One commentator said it's like a failure to transfer wisdom from one situation to the next. That's what happens to David here. He fails to transfer the wisdom that he had and displayed earlier with Saul to this interaction with Nabal. And it's interesting that chapter 25 in the context is between chapter 24 and chapter 26. In chapter 24, Saul is spared by David in the cave. In chapter 26, Saul is going to be spared by David in the field. And yet here, David's not as ready to spare Nabal. Now as we come to the context here, we're told that this man from Carmel, Nabal by name, is shearing his sheep, and the shearing of sheep would have happened twice a year in the fall and in the spring. And at that time, when they were doing this, they would have had great feasts of celebration. So it's probably a time of a great feast. The shearing of the sheep is happening. And David is going to come. He's living in the wilderness with his men, and he's going to come to Nabal, and he's going to ask him, this rich man who's having a feast, can you spare a little food for my men? Can you give me something to eat? And Nabal's going to refuse, and we're going to see this play out. We're going to see God step in. And we learn this, that God loves us too much to allow us to boldly walk into sin. God loves us too much to allow us to boldly walk into sin. But we'll see David's desire to boldly walk into sin, his desire for revenge. We'll see God use Abigail to give him advice against this revenge. But then finally, we'll see that God is the one who brings about revenge for David. So what is David's desire for revenge? Well, his desire for revenge is against this man named Nabal. We're told that Nabal is a very rich man. He has a very lucrative business of sheep shearing. But it's interesting to note his name, Nabal. Now, Nabal in Hebrew means fool. Now, I highly doubt this is the name that his mother gave him. It's probably given here as a name that shows the public opinion of him for sure, but also to demonstrate who he was. It's the same word that is used in Psalm 14:1. Literally, the Nabal has said in his heart, there is no God. It's the same word that we read earlier as we read from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah and chapter 32, verses 5 and 6. The foolish, the Nabal person, will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful, for the foolish, Nabal, person will speak foolishness. That's his name. Now, when you've heard the phrase, his name is mud. Well, here his name is Nabal. His name is fool. And we're going to see that play out. But there's an interesting contrast here between Nabal and his wife in verse 3. The name of the man was Nabal, fool. The name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. There couldn't be a more incorrectly matched pair here. We have this wise and beautiful woman with a harsh and a wicked man. And she's actually going to save him, at least temporarily, from David. And when we think about that, how many men have probably been saved by their wives from trouble? But here she does. And when you think about Scripture, what Scripture says about marriage and why wives are given as helpmeets, as those who come alongside their husbands, complete them. Well, certainly, Abigail had a lot of work to do she had to make up for a lot of Nabal's deficiencies, and she probably did. One commentator puts it this way: fortunately, stupid Nabal had a perceptive servant and a resourceful wife. That's what Nabal had. But his servant's opinion of him, in verse 17, his servants say, as they're warning Abigail of this, he is such a scoundrel that one cannot even speak to him. He's not even going to listen to anyone. The word translated scoundrel here is, he is a son of worthlessness. That's who Nabal is. Abigail's opinion of him isn't much better. Verse 25, she's speaking with David. She says, this scoundrel, Nabal, this worthless fool, for as his name is, so he is Nabal. His shame and his folly is with him. He's a man of worthlessness. He's senseless. And David wants revenge against him for his actions. David has come to him with his servants, and he sent a blessing to him. Verse 6, David tells his servants, go to Nabal and tell him, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. That's what he tells Nabal. He sends his blessings. He sends his wishes to him. He basically says to Nabal, I hope you have a long life and good health. And it's ironic, isn't it, that those are the two things that he's not going to have. We're going to find out quickly that that is going to be just the opposite. But he's also wanting revenge against Nabal because Nabal has insulted him. Verse 10, he answers the servants. Nabal says to David's servants, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? I haven't even heard of him. And then he goes on to say, there are many servants nowadays who break away, each one from his master. So he says, who's David? I haven't heard of him. And oh, by the way, he's a runaway servant. He's faithless. He deserted Saul. I'm not going to help him. But it's interesting also to note what he says in verse 11. Look at the pride that he has in his possessions and the selfishness. Shall I then take my bread, my water, my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who I do not know where they are from? Notice the possessive nature of his statement. This is mine. This is mine. I have done this. He doesn't recognize that it comes from God, and he doesn't recognize his duty to his neighbor. He says, this is mine, and I'm not giving it to anyone, much less David. But also he seeks revenge because David, as he points out in verse 21, reflecting back, David had said, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. David's men in the wilderness had protected them. In fact, the servants had testified to that. They were a wall to us on the left and the right. They protected us. And David says, he's not going to repay me for this. And so, unlike his response to Saul in chapter 24, David's response is, every man gird on your sword. Arm up. We're going after Nabal. And I'm not going to leave any man alive. Verse 22, may God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light. Now, at this point, we might think that it's Nabal who has the problem because here, 400 armed men are coming to him, but it's not Nabal that has the problem. It's really David that has the problem. David's the one that is walking headlong into foolishness. David's going after Nabal, who is a fool, but he's acting the fool himself in trying to take what belongs to God, vengeance. But then we see that God provides this great intervention through Abigail. We see Abigail's advice against revenge. We're told that she had prepared things from verse 18 to verse 20, that she had prepared all of these things, loaded them on donkeys, and then in verse 23, she sees David. Now, she sees this army coming, 400 armed men. And here she comes with donkeys loaded with goods. She sees David, and she goes to him. She falls down at his feet, and the first thing she says is she repents of sin. Now, who sinned? It was Nabal who sinned. But here she says, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. Listen to me. She says, don't take this out on Nabal. He's not worth your time. He's a scoundrel. But know that I, your maidservant, I didn't even know your men came. And the implication here, had I known, I would have already given them this. And she makes restitution for this. Verse 27, now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. We sinned. Here is the restitution for that. She asked for forgiveness. Verse 28, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. She recognizes that the Lord will make him an enduring house, that he will be king. But then in verse 31, she instructs David. And here's really the central piece of her advice. Verse 31, she says that this, that is his actions against Nabal, will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. So she gives him this advice, doesn't she? She says, don't repay evil with evil. Don't do it, David, because if you do this, there'll be grief in your heart. It'll be offense in your heart. This is something you're going to have to live with. I mean, this is David who was sorrowful over cutting the robe of Saul. How is he going to feel after he goes and slaughters every male that belongs to Nabal? Now, it's true that Nabal had sinned. He had violated the law of God. Leviticus 19:13 gives instruction that an individual is to care for their neighbor. Leviticus 19 and verse 13, you shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. And certainly David had done things. David had served Nabal's good. But what Abigail brings out is what we find five verses later in verse 18. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. What Abigail says is, yes, Nabal sinned greatly against you, but it's not your place to take revenge. Don't do it. And think of the boldness that she has in doing this. Here, Abigail, the wife of the enemy of David, stands before an army of 400 armed and hungry men and confronts David and says, don't do this. But David receives this advice, doesn't he? In fact, in verse 32, David blesses the Lord for her. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. There's a threefold blessing here. Blessed is the Lord, blessed is your advice, and blessed are you. Why? Because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. David recognizes that he was ready to do this. He had sharpened the sword. This was going to be David's Nob. Remember what happened in Nob? Saul went and liquidated the place. This would have been on par with that. But David receives this advice. And one can't help but think of the psalm written by David, Psalm 19. In verse 13, David praying says this, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and shall be innocent of great transgression. Now here is an example of the Lord keeping David back from this sin. Now, let's think about this. This is David. King David, the man after God's own heart, and yet how quickly did he have wisdom amnesia? How quickly did he go straight to sin? And if that's going to happen to him, what about us? What about you? Do you think you are going to do any better? Now, you see, and I think that this brings up and instructs us in the wickedness, the deceitfulness, the power of sin. And it should drive us to Christ. Because David, as great as he is, was ready to do this. For the Lord Jesus Christ never reviled when he was reviled. And it's only in him and through him that we have any hope of overcoming sin. God restrains David here, though. David needed Christ just as we need Christ. And notice what David does. He sends her away in peace. He receives her restitution. Verse 35. Received from her hand, and he said, "Go in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." David needed someone to step in and give him godly advice here. And God sent Abigail to do it. Now, you and I, we need godly advice, don't we? And so I would ask you the question, who has God placed in your life as a godly advisor? Do you go to them? Do you seek them out? Are you willing to listen to them? You know, I can tell you that there are people, certain people, that God has placed in your life. God has given the church. God has given ministers and elders and deacons as those who can be advisors. But also, now children, listen to this. I know you're not going to want to hear this, but God has given your parents to you. God has given your parents to you to advise, to give you. In fact, Proverbs in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs, a book of wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Listen to your parents. Listen to those God has placed in your life. Because I can tell you what, the best advice is only as good as far as it is applied. James warns about that, doesn't he? He said, we can be like those who look at ourselves in a mirror, and then we immediately go away and we forget what we look like. It doesn't stick. Well, David hears this, and David heeds. It sticks with him. Now, David goes away from Abigail in peace, and David goes away from Nabal in peace, but Nabal is not going to remain in peace. We see God's vengeance is executed against him. We're told in verse 36 that Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until the morning light. We see a picture of Nabal's decadence. He was so drunk that his wife can't even talk to him. Perhaps she thought, even if I tell him something, he's not going to remember what I say. That's how drunk he is. In Proverbs 31, verses 4 and 5 say that a king ought not to become drunk. So here we have Nabal, the fool, who is feasting like a king but not acting like one. And when we tie this in with the description of Nabal at the beginning, one who had all of these flocks, one who had all of these goods, one cannot help but think about that warning that comes in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Jesus, speaking in a parable, says, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you, then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A fool. Now certainly Nabal was not rich toward God. And when he sobers up, his wife Abigail goes in and she tells him these things, and we're told that his heart died within him and he became like a stone. His heart died within him. I think here we have a description of a stroke that brought him into coma. Now we're not told why. We're not told the message that she told him. Is this because she said, hey, you barely escaped, and all of your males barely escaped the edge of the sword because I went out? Or is it because she told him of all the gifts that she gave, and he was so frustrated that she would have given away his goods? Well, we're not told, but he has this, what's described as a stroke, this physical ailment in which his heart dies within him, and he became like a stone, and he remains that way for 10 days. But verse 38 is very telling. This was not a natural occurrence. This was not a result of his heavy drinking. This was not a generational family condition. This was the hand of God upon him. Verse 38. Then it happened, after about 10 days, that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. This was God's judgment upon this wicked man. David did not have to take vengeance because the Lord was going to do it. And we read of the same thing happening in the New Testament. Acts chapter 12, verse 20. This is to Herod. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. That happened to Herod. That happened to Nabal. It was God's judgment upon him. And David recognizes this in verse 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord." And not directly for his death. He wasn't rejoicing in the death, but he says, "Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." You see, David understood, he recognized this truth, that God is the one who is going to bring everyone to account. God is the one who is going to judge all wickedness. We don't have to do it. In fact, we ought not to do it. David can testify to Proverbs 20 and verse 22. "Do not say, 'I will recompense evil.' Wait for the Lord and he will save you." And the Lord saves David, doesn't he? Not only do David and his men receive, but notice what happens. David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. And she does become his wife. Now David didn't go in to exterminate Nabal to get Abigail. That wasn't his plan. He didn't do anything. The Lord did. But the Lord orchestrated this. And we're told then that David marries Abigail. And all of this was in God's providential plan. Now when you think about David here and what happens, we have to remember that chapter 25 is coming right off of chapter 24 again. In chapter 24... David spared Saul. He had wisdom. He told his men, he said, "We ought not to do this. We cannot repay evil with evil." And yet, he has wisdom amnesia. It's gone. Now he wants to take out Nabal. You know, as soon as he was sinned against, his response was not, "How can I do this?" but, "Every man gird on his sword. We're coming." And God had to use Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the wife of his enemy, to stop him from this great sin. And again, David recognizes all of this was God's hand of providence. God is the one who not only has kept him from evil, but also repaid his enemies. For vengeance belongs to the Lord. Now again, we need to remember that David is this man after God's own heart. David is one that often we read his Psalms and we want to emulate and we want to be like, but David's a man like us. Here we see that. David was ready to sin. God had to stop him. And what does it tell us about our own hearts? What does that tell you about your heart? You know, you could hear the word of God, you could know what it says, you could practice it, and the next situation, where are you at? We need to guard against that. We need to come to Christ. We need to know that he's the only one. The only one who, when reviled, did not revile. He's the only one that didn't need an intervention. He didn't go down the road to folly. And so we need to come to him. We need to pray daily. What do we pray? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Because we know that God providentially will do that. We've seen this happen here in the life of David. But I would also encourage you to surround yourself with godly advisors and seek to be one. That's what we need. We need one another. We need Christ. We also need the body of Christ. We need to speak truth to one another. But also remember this: when, by God's providence, you're kept from sin, don't think that you did it. Don't think, "Well, I did really good that time." No, recognize with David and proclaim with him, "The Lord has kept his servant from evil." Because it's only the Lord who can keep us from evil. And may this be written upon our hearts, and may we seek not only to receive advice, to put it into practice, but also to be those who are willing to give people that advice and trust in it. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we praise you for your word and for all of the wisdom that is contained in it. Help us to learn as David learned, that God, you are the one who has said, "Do not repay, for vengeance is mine." Help us to not have wisdom amnesia. Help us to remember your words, to not be as those who look at ourselves in a mirror and then turn away forgetting. But help us to store up your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. And now we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.